Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I say it all the time, and I mean it every time. The Lord is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I thank God that He is. The Lord would train us years ago after meeting Mom Powell and hearing her conversations, thinking about how the Word works. How God wants. He's very motivated in us winning. The Lord is doing something, and we need to be, you know, you can be clued in on what He's doing. Now, the Holy Spirit, He will give information to the babes. He always did. People that really wanted to know Him, He would train. He would teach. He would help them understand. People that love the world, not so much. He'd hide what He was doing. You know, He'd hide His face. I was listening to Isaiah early, and I came across the part where it said that He hid His face from Israel when they were in their rogue ways. Now, it's not worded that way, but it was talking about how He hid His face from them because they did not follow Him. They didn't share His heart. Now, those who share His heart, those that are born again, they love God. They love truth. They're interested in the ways of God, and they hate what happened to them in the world. They hate the ways of the world that works to destroy them. And these are the kind of people God can teach. These are the kind of people that will understand. It's not always those with a great name, those with reputation. You know, the lukewarm church had reputation. You know, that's not enough. Some people have a reputation, they have a platform, and they speak to thousands of people every day. Not naming names, I don't know, I mean, I'm not judging people, but this is what happens. They have a, you know, they may have a what people would call a successful church, and thousands of people show up to it. And then they're on TV, another millions of people listen to them all the time. But I listen. Sometimes the Lord I know from the prayer room, I'm not hearing Him over the TV. Sometimes people will say things that God shared, or they'll say things in the same spirit that the Lord talked to. See, the Holy Spirit is perfect. Whenever you see, watch TV, watch movies, listen to songs, there's always a spirit behind it. People are sharing, you know, folk songs. They're singing about their life, what really happened, good or bad, happy song. There's a spirit behind it. And I'm not saying it's always an evil spirit behind it, but there's always a spirit behind it, even if it's just a human spirit. But when men line up with darkness, then a dark spirit is behind it. And then what is the moral of the story? What is the thought process that comes after you watch this movie? There's a spirit behind it. And sometimes the Lord will enable men to write movies, parables, so we can, you know, I like to watch a good movie. I love good movies. But I have to filter it. Sometimes the spirit behind it is not of God. Sometimes some movies are parables. I like to watch Lord of the Rings. To me, it's a parable about the warfare that we're in. Just like Star Wars. To me, I take it as a parable. Because I said, Lord, what's going on with Star Wars? I like to understand things. He said it's a parable. It's a parable of, you know, Star Wars is a parable because Luke couldn't win the war without until he won the war within. And his father, Darth Vader, he turned to the dark side, but he couldn't be functional until he turned back to the light. So this war, I got this part from the Word. You cannot win against Satan unless you win the war within. If you study the judges after Joshua, if you study Joshua and the judges when they did warfare, they fought according to their dedication. No man can fight beyond his dedication. If you're really not dedicated to the things of God, you're going to fight sloppy. If you really are dedicated to the things of God, you're going to fight victoriously. If that's, you cannot win against Satan if you think like him. So the Holy Spirit gives knowledge and wisdom and increase of knowledge and wisdom and counsel to those that love his, those that are sincere. God is looking for sincere people. One time I sinned and I regretted it and I repented. And the Lord said, I'm looking for people I can bless. So he's looking for people. And that, you know, I didn't want to sin anymore. I wanted to be the kind of person that he could bless. So the thing is, see, the Lord, when he talked to you, he's direct. He's to the point. One time he told me, he said, you need to be more frank with people. If you study what Jesus taught and the way, and if you study the things Jesus taught and then study how Paul taught and how Peter taught, they taught like Jesus did. They were dealing when they to the froward, they showed them, they rebuked the proud, and they gave knowledge and grace and words of wisdom to those that love God. They did the very same thing that Jesus did. In all of my communion with the Holy Spirit, I told my daughter this, I said, if you study the Word of God with the intent to do it, the Holy Spirit will train you. If you're looking for loopholes, you're not going to learn as much. The Word of God is designed to feed the hungry, it's a parable to the wicked. All that'll tell the wicked man is to humble himself. He'll read the very same thing you read, but it'll blockade him. The Word of God is designed to do exactly what God does. The Holy Spirit does does the Father's will, and Jesus did the Father's will. Now, men, they'll compromise somewhere. And I run into this so much. They'll tweak God's word and water it down according to their compromise. For whatever reason, they'll compromise. People are lukewarm for different reasons. But it's always because they have a passion for the world somewhere down deep in their heart. A lukewarm man is a divided man. If you're interested in a woman, you love her, You're willing to sacrifice for her. You have good intentions for her. You want to marry her. But she keeps, in the back of her mind, she's got this boyfriend she keeps thinking about. And, you know, she want to marry you, if you're a man, you know. But she keeps thinking about her boyfriend. When you figure that out, if you got good sense, you leave her alone. You need to go. You want whoever you're married to be dedicated to you 100%, not 50%. See, women like that get people killed. Men like that woman that's thinking about his old girlfriend, he's trying to marry you or your daughter. If you're a woman, he's trying to marry you, and he keeps thinking about his old girlfriend. You want him to make up his mind. Now, people that are desperate, they'll try to, you know, I learned this a long time ago. Let people be what they are. I learned that from God. People are going to be what they are. That's it. They're not going to be what you want them to be. They're going to be what they are. And if you decide to marry, you better make sure that they are who they say they are. And I don't know another way to do it, but you know, I let the Lord guide me. When I got married, I asked the Lord questions. Because he's the only one that knows what I would do and what my wife would do. Now, I had good intentions, but I asked questions. I said, will she follow you? Will she love me for me, not for what I can do? You know, I asked questions, hard questions, and it was always a good answer. Then I decided to marry. Now, we had all kind of problems. not from each other, but from, you know, we had financial problems. I had to pay child support. She stuck with me thick and thin. She helped me with my children. She helped me raise my children from the previous marriage. She was a blessing to him. She always protected me. She saw things I didn't see. And I saw things she didn't see. We always worked together. We overcame every storm. And we have a child with special needs. And people don't know what we went through. Our daughter used to speak to us with tantrums. And we had to learn her. It was one thing after another. And if my daughter saw water, if we walk in the park, she see water, she's going to get in that water. We had to make sure she did not get away. She would wait till you're not paying attention and go jump in that water. We went through all kind of things until we had to learn to communicate with our daughter because she's nonverbal. But she's partially verbal now because we've been praying for her and working with her, and the Lord's been helping us to grow. We went through all kind of stuff that people don't normally go through, and we stuck together because we were both foundational. We loved God and we loved each other, and we had each other, and we were able to work together very well. And it wasn't, and most of the things, it wasn't easy, but we did it because we cared about each other. We loved each other. That's what happens when you're serious, when you're sincere. And if you're divided against God, if you're thinking about the world somewhere, and you know what the words say, but over here you're interested in doing this sin over here, or you're interested in the ways of the world, or you use worldly tactics still. You know, your parents used to fuss a lot, so you ignore what Jesus said about a soft Proverbs tell you a soft answer turns away wrath. Peter said, love each other like Jesus loved you. That means you can't fuss people out just because your parents did. You can't use the worldly tactics that your parents used or others used or your culture uses. You can't do things the same. Well, you got to do it God's way. You have to learn to do it God's way. You have to receive the word in that area of life and come up to par. Or you're limiting what God can do in your life. So, then there are preachers out there. People only bear fruit after their type, after their kind, their ways. A man of God can be full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, but whatever he allowed of the world, it comes out of his mouth like soup. You know, I didn't put that the way I wanted to, but it's a mixture of the worldly ways that he didn't clear up yet, and the wisdom of God. That's what he's preaching. And people eat. You know, if a chef fix you soup, he got all kind of stuff cut up in that soup, and you eat some vegetables you may not really like, but with the seasoning, it tastes okay. And normally you may not eat onions, but onions is in the soup, and because they cooked it, you eat it anyway. Same thing with bell pepper or whatever they put in it. Beans, whatever they put in the soup, you just eat it all. You may not have really wanted it. And hopefully you're not allergic to something. But people eat them. They take in a message just like they're eating soup. Now, we only bear fruit after our type. So the things that the pastors and the evangelists that came before us, whatever they didn't correct, it gets past our filter. Now, when you study the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's going to help you come up to Jesus' standard. Now, Jesus' standard is the perfect will of God. So, eventually, it's going to happen to you. Some things that you learn that's just corrupt and wrong, you have to see it for what it is and reject it. You always have to reject the world system, no matter how it came to you. Things that we know, sometimes people don't know to reject things. They're in a warfare. They're pioneering. Now, those who spend more time with the Lord, they're going to filter a lot of foolishness out before they administer to you. But people who spend less time in the presence of the Lord, there's a lot of things that got past their filter. Now, this is not a I'm not talking condemnation against people, but this is just the way it is. We come to Jesus like we are. We understand in part. So something's going to get by somebody. You have to go, you have to fill your heart with the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit will help you master your life and break through where you need to, and things that got past your filter, he'll help you drive that out. If it's darkness, it's got to be driven out. You can't allow it, it will work against you. Now, as we handle holy things, we receive the Holy Word of God and we minister to people. Now, in following God, I learned so much more. Because I want to know the truth, I ask God questions and he teach me one-on-one. Asking the Lord to teach me to love his people, he enabled, it opened my eyes to so many things. First John chapter 1 shows us well that love is light. First John chapter 1 and chapter 2. If you walk in love, you walk in light. You can see things as they really are. But if you walk in darkness, you don't know what you're going to stumble over. It's a lot of corruption that you can stumble over in darkness. So what I learned to do is this. When I'm asking the Lord questions with the intent to do it, he always show me what, he always answer me. Always. Sometimes it's immediately, not all the time. Sometimes he'll cause people to say what I need and open my understanding to it. Sometimes when I'm reading the word, he'll give me illumination, or the word will jump off the page and he give me illumination for what I'm reading, and I have revelation. And this happens all the time for me, because I ask a lot of questions. But asking him to teach me to love his people helped me to be sincere. And I'm motivated by his kind of love, not worldly love, but his kind of love, the agape love. I'm motivated by agape love to lay your life down for your brother, like Jesus did for us. The same way Jesus loved me, it's my goal to love others. He already died for us, but we lay our life down. We put others first. We're motivated. I want to see people healed and blessed. And I can't, old tradition won't cut it. I can figure that out. I understand enough about the Lord to know that ain't going to get it. You got to go back to the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will help you understand what you don't. And he'll help you see what you don't. And then you have to choose to walk in it, and you always have to drive out the Philistines. When you find a Philistine hidden in your corner, you got to drive his behind out. He come to kill, steal, and destroy. Our heart is just like Canaan land. You got to drive the Canaanites out. They come to kill, steal, and destroy. They are agents of Satan. Now, the Canaanites, I'm not talking about people right now. I'm talking about the things that you've allowed. They operate just like satanic people that was in Canaan land. The people in Canaan land were satanic. Drive them out. Don't make deals with them. Don't let them stay there. They got to go. They're corrupt. They'll mess you up. Now, there were laws for people that if they would become a proselyte and learn the ways of God, that was different. But for the most, they had to drive them Canaanites out. When it comes to people, if they won't turn from God, if they won't turn to God, drive them out. Now, the Gibeonites, they were slick. They knew that they couldn't win against Israel. So they act like they were foreigners, and they asked them, could they stay? And Joshua broke God's covenant. He broke agreement and let them stay, because he thought they came from somewhere else. And they were Canaanites. Then, you know, Israel got in trouble because Saul broke covenant. He broke an agreement that Joshua made. And they had a drought because of it. David found out about it and made correction. Now, if you if you follow God and do what he said in the first place, you're going to have less trouble in your life. Now, as you draw forward, if you're a babe, if you're a person that's sincere, a babe is sincere. Babies don't question their parents' authority. They cooperate, especially in willing. You know, some children are willingly obedient. And the count, the 70 that went out that Jesus sent, they were selected by the Lord. They were chosen to do what they'd done. They were babes. They just wanted to know the Lord, and they were thankful that God saved them. And they found out they had authority over Satan. And then, but in the course, Jesus said, don't rejoice because you got power over Satan. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. But then Jesus rejoiced because the Lord showed them the holy things of God, the holy things of authority. Jesus said, many kings and prophets wanted to see what you see and didn't see it. And he thanked God that he hid things from the wicked and gave it to babes. So now we got a clearer definition of the babe. They just people that want to know God, do right, and not do wrong. They willing to do everything, all of God's word, and they don't want to do any of Satan's word. So God's going to give you information. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. When you come around people, you may believe in your heart that everybody believes that others are like them. It's hard for us to believe that people are different from us. If you love God passionately, it's easy for you to believe that others love God passionately, just like you do. But that's not the case at all. It's different. People are like they are. You're going to have to trust the Holy Spirit when it comes to people, just like I had to trust the Holy Spirit about my wife, who I married. And he'll tell you the truth about people. Now, this is something that I run into. I receive knowledge from God. And people that had that love the world somewhere, they were less receptive to what I learned from the Lord. That was accurate scripture in the prayer room. They were least likely to receive it. People that were receptive were people who wanted to know God sincerely. And yesterday's broadcast, I said, it was called Exposed. That was the title of yesterday's broadcast. But one thing I said was that people, I run into this problem. People, I would give them knowledge, but some people wouldn't receive it. I said I monitor the Holy Spirit when I'm talking to people, because I had to learn to do that. Because every time I get excited, I learn something, I get excited, and I want to tell my pastor friends. And sometimes I'll get ready to tell them, and then God caused me to forget all of it because he wasn't going to give it to them for whatever reason. And I didn't know why. I just knew that I couldn't remember it. Then when I left that house, everything, as soon as I leave and get a good distance away, then everything comes, all the revelation that I wanted to tell about comes back to me. And I thought the enemy had some kind of trick going. I didn't know why that would happen, because it was hard for me to process that a person that loved God like they seem to love God wouldn't want to know what God was sharing. But the Lord was high. He knows his people better than we do. And then years went by before I realized the Lord was causing me to forget, because he didn't sanction them to have it. And he eventually told me that if I had given them that information, they would have made a bigger mess, because there were things that got past their filter. And if they had fresh revelation, they could cause people to follow them even more. And revelation is, God, this thing is fixed. The revelation of God does the same thing that the Word of God does. It gives grace to the humble, and it resists the proud. I don't know a better and easier way to put it. The revelation that God gives, I'm going to say it again, it resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. That's why I learned to monitor the Holy Spirit before I open my mouth. Now, when I'm in a dialogue with people, sometimes I ask the Lord if I can say this or that. Now, people that have responded negatively to revelation. I'm not as fast to give them revelation. I asked the Lord, is it okay to say this or that? And then if he prompt me to do it, then I do it. And some people, I don't say anything unless the Lord prompt me to tell them. And this is why. If people let something pass their filter and you give them fresh revelation, holy knowledge from God, that'll make them more credible. And they didn't do anything about the error of their way. That's very dangerous, because people are going to eat everything they say as soup. They're going to, you know, a chef serves you soup. It tastes good. It smells good. All right. Something in the soup might not be fit for you. Well, a message comes out. The pastor's serving that message like a chef would a bowl of soup. And if people don't study the word, they don't know any better. And now you got another generation of people that will bear fruit after their kind. In other words, the things that they teach and condone won't work. It's not fit for God's use. God can't put God can't put a revival on top of a broken foundation. In other words, things that got past their firewall, their filter. If you don't drive out the Canaanites, you're going to preach like a Canaanite. But if you drive it out and receive revelation, now God can pour on top of that. He can build on that foundation. When people love the world somewhere, if they have pride in their heart, it offends them if somebody seems to do better than them. And they'll, you know, when that happens, this happened so many times, it used to confuse me, because I thought that everybody was like I was, and then it's not that way. You provoke people. I was talking to my cousin's wife. He was alive back then, and I was talking to him and his wife. I was talking to her on the phone one day. We was talking about the Lord, and she said, you know, when I talk to you, you're talking about things that the Lord, she said, you got the heart of a pastor, and you always talk about what the Lord says, and it's very good, and people don't expect you to say things like that. And when people talk to you, they're amazed because of the word, and they feel trapped. She was voicing what I had been witnessing. I never thought about it that way. People act like they were trapped and like they got to find the exit door. Because if there's pride in people's hearts, then they don't like that. All right, you never been to school. You're talking to a principal of a college. And you're saying things far beyond your normal mode of intelligence. Some people only like to listen to people that's been well educated, because they have that peacock pride. But when you're handling holy things, you get that in the prayer room, not the school. And some people can't make that adjustment. They can't connect those dots. Peter, in Acts chapter 4, when they saw the lame man, the Pharisees had been well educated in all the doctrines that they adored. And I'd rather just read it, because I don't want to mess up a good thought like that. Acts chapter 4. They didn't like the fact that Peter healed a lame man, and everybody knew it. And here it is, Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So now you got 20-something thousand people, because they only counted the men and they had their families out there. And Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And they had set them in the midst. They asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done unto the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at nothing of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. You hear that? They marveled. See, these were men that were speaking far beyond their intelligence. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now that's what I'm talking about. So when you've been with Jesus, men are going to treat you just like they treated them. And beholding the man which was healed standing by them, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Case closed. So the holy knowledge that God give you, you can't share it with everybody you love and understand and respect. Sometimes you're going to get the cold shoulder because they didn't deal with their pride. Now I'm out of time, but